God really wants to, I'm going to preach short because God wants to do something here for us today. And Ahab, are you there? We all there? Good. Let's give a shout. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he'd executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a message to Elijah saying, "So let the gods do to me and more also, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he saw that, he rose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a broom tree, and he prayed that he might die and said, "It is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I'm no better than my father's." Then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." Then he looked, and there by his head was a cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you." So he arose and ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" So he said, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, and the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Then he said, "Go out, stand on the mountain before the Lord." And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore in the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And he said, "I've been very zealous for the Lord, God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." The Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you arrive, anoint Hazael, the king over Israel. And you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. It shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill, and whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. Yet I reserve 7,000 in Israel, all those who have not bowed to Baal, but every mouth that has not kissed him." I want to minister today to some people here today. I believe that some have become just weary in well-doing. And this is a passage where Elisha, greatly used by God, and he's just been in an intense spiritual battle, where he called down fire on Mount Carmel, and the fire of God fell down, and he destroyed false prophets up there. It was a great miracle. You can read it in the previous chapter. And Elijah had been... He'd been used by God as a prophet, and he existed in a time where the people of God were backslidden, the people of God were lukewarm, they were compromised, and they were not living as God's people, and it was all around him. And Elijah, he came out of the wilderness. The wilderness is always a preparation for ministry. And he came out of that wilderness so anointed and so used by God, and God used him in so many mighty ways. But after this battle, Jezebel came and threatened him. And just one woman, but it was Satan's woman. And Jezebel came and threatened him. And said, "So the Lord God's do to me more. If I don't make this time tomorrow, your life will be over." And when he heard that, he ran. He rose and ran for his life. And he got into a place where he lay down and he said, "God, that I might die, it is enough. Take my life, I'm no better than my father's." And it's just a fact in ministry that if you don't read the gauge on how tired you are, on what the battle is taking out of you, you have this treasure in a jar of clay, what the toll of serving God sometimes takes on you, that and the opposition we're confronting, the spiritual powers that are coming against us, if we don't read the gauge well, Jesus would frequently take his disciples aside up a mountain and get refreshed. But if we don't get, we run the risk of burnout, of discouragement and despair. And Elijah's in that place where he's basically wanting to quit. He's even wanting to die. He's just saying, it's enough. And he says, I'm no better than anyone else. I've been zealous, but I want to quit. And he is in a place of just physical and emotional and spiritual exhaustion because of the spiritual battle he's been in. It's been wearing down on him. And he feels worthless and alone. Worthless and alone. He says, I'm the only one left. He wasn't. There was 7,000 more. But in verse 10 he says, I alone am left. And they seek to take my life. So he's in a really bad place where he's losing perspective. When you lose perspective like that, you suffer wrong thinking. You can't see clearly. He moves from exhaustion into self-pity. And he starts saying, I've been zealous and it's not fair and this is what's happened. And he starts to believe his ministry's been a failure. He's failed. And when he gets into that place, he gets out of the spirit, he moves more and more into the flesh, assessing things with his natural eyes. And when that happens, you move from there to unbelief, a little bit of pride, self-pity, and there can be temptations, even to lay down and say, just let somebody else do this. Just let somebody else do it. And God comes to him in this place. God comes to him. When we're in that place of exhaustion, you notice the way God comes to him. God comes to him. There's no criticism. God comes to us when we're like that in gentleness. He ministers to us in his gentleness. I love Psalm 18. And David, you know, every man of God has had a time where they feel like this. Moses had it. Joshua had it. David had it. David wrote this. He says, you also have given me the shield of your salvation. In Psalm 18:35, that your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarged my path under me so that my feet did not slip. And he's saying, when I was down like that, you came to me in your gentleness and you made sure that I didn't get off the path that you called me to walk. The gentle ministry of God to him kept him on the path. And God came to Elijah and he brought him back. And he brought him back into a place where he didn't miss out on what God had for him. Because still before Elijah, you know, when God ministers to him in gentleness, the things that we're asking him, he often won't give us. Elijah's saying, just take me. Why wouldn't God take him? I want to tell you, because God had so much more for him. Elijah was about to call down fire from heaven and destroy armies, and he was about to experience the rapture where he would not die. God has he had a great plan ahead for him, and I feel like God is saying to somebody here tonight, he has a great plan ahead for you. He has a great plan ahead for you, and you will not move out of God's plan for you, regardless of what the enemy is trying to do, regardless of what your flesh is trying to do, regardless of the state you're in. God wants to minister today in his gentleness. The way he ministers to Elijah, he comes to Elijah. Elijah said, it's enough. And it says, he lay down and slept under a broom tree. And suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. He looked and there was coals and a jar of water and a loaf of bread that had been baked. Verse 6. The little angel came again, touched him, and said, "Arise, eat, because the journey is too great." The way God brings us back out of that state is to first, he himself comes to refresh us. And that refreshment is in the form of the physical. You need to eat. Praise God, I just went to England. I ate for 2 weeks. I am so refreshed. I ate in Italy. I ate in England. But you do. You need to refresh your body. You need to look after this. We have a treasure in a jar of clay. You need to look after your physical body. And he refreshes him physically. But then he refreshes his spirit. And the way he does it, it says that he touched him. There was an angel. It was a supernatural encounter. And I praise God. When Jesus Christ touched lepers, he didn't need many touches to transform them and heal them. There's just one touch you need from God. There is a touch in the middle of the night. There is a touch when you're driving your car. There's a touch that you can't even explain, but you know God has touched you. And strength starts to come back into your spirit. Strength starts to come back. Perspective comes and tiredness starts to leave you because God has reached out his hand and touched you. New strength comes and your perspective starts to come back. So God comes in his gentleness and he brings us back by refreshing us physically and with his touch. I love this. God actually asks Elijah questions and he comes to him and says, you know, Elijah, you know, twice he asks him the same question. He says, he went into a cave. The Lord came to him and says, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" You know when God asks you a question, he always knows the answer. He knows everything. But he asks you a question so that you discover the answer. You get the answer through the question. And he says, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And Elijah says, "I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts, the children of Israel, forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, killed the prophets, and I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." When you actually get in the flesh, when you get out of walking in the spirit, when you start to walk by sight, not by faith, there's certain things that you know that give it away. And one of the things that is sure is that your eyes get off the presence and the greatness of God, and your eyes start to get on other things. Elijah's eyes had moved away from God, and he looked at Elijah. He saw the battle. And he looked at the state of the people of God, the church. And he saw compromise. And ongoing compromise. Ongoing despair. Ongoing backsliddenness. And so he looks at the enemy. And then he looks at the church. And he looks at himself. And he says, "I'm alone." And whenever you look at the enemy, whenever you focus on what the enemy's doing against you, whenever you focus on what the state of the church is, whenever you focus on you and your own resources, you're going to get depressed. And God actually says, stand out there. And he gives him this great display of earthquakes and wind. And what he is, he's actually revealing his power. And he's saying to Elijah, "Get your eyes off these things and get your eyes back on the power of God. Get your eyes back on the power of God. Get your eyes back on miracles. Get your eyes on what you're called to do, to move in my power." Refocus him towards the power of God. So he refreshes us. And he reminds us of his great power. Reminds us of his power. And then God says to him, he says, "I want you to go back the very way you came. 300 miles, I want you to walk back the very way you came. And go back to what you do. Go back to preaching. Go back to prophesying. Go back to praying." And he says, "This time I'm going to give you a new specific task. I want you to anoint this one. I want you to anoint that one. I want you to raise up Elisha." And so, and that comes in the Word of God. And what that's all about is actually a commissioning. It's a recommissioning of Elisha. And God gives him a specific task. And that's where, when we have the Word of God come to us like that, that's what the vision is for the next season. We all need vision for seasons. And seasons are defined by a word. It's a Rhema word that comes. And it's a commissioning for a season. And God gives him a new commissioning, a new word for a new season. And we need that vision, because the Bible says, write the vision so the herald may run. And so he picks him back up when he's down, by refreshing him, by reminding him, by recommissioning him. And it's interesting in this place also, Elijah, he gets in that place because he speaks about, I alone am the real deal. I alone am the real prophet. And he feels like he's lost perspective, and God says there's 7,000 others. And the first thing the Bible says, in the word in the Bible, in Genesis, is it's not good for man to be alone. And a certain way to get into a funk, into a bad place, is to live without relationship. So Elijah, God says to Elijah, you're not going to do that. I'm going to give you an Elisha. I'm going to give you a companion. Jesus always sent them out in twos. And he recommissioned him. And he sent him back. God sent him back knowing that there's a glorious reward for faithfulness, for endurance, that the only deal in town, really, the only game in town is the kingdom of God game. That everything else is just dross. And the only thing that's going to endure is kingdom of God ministry and work and serving him. And God, he loved him so much, he wouldn't allow him to move out of that place. Even though his flesh wanted to in a little while, and in discouragement and depression, he lay down and said, I just got to get out of this. God, you know, Paul at the end says, I fought the fight and I run the race. God has people here today that he's just saying to you, I've got so much more for you. There's so much I've planned in your future. As Jeremiah, I've got a plan, a good plan and a purpose to prosper you, not to harm you. And I just feel that the word of God's come today, and God says, you will endure to the end. And to people that are discouraged here today, God understands it completely. He doesn't condemn you, but he comes to you in gentleness today to lift you, to restore you, to refresh you. He wants to use you more than he's ever used before. And he knows what it is to face discouragement. He knows what it is, how the enemy will fight the servant of God. He will fight you. I mean, I confess, I've had times in my life where I felt just like Elijah. But we serve a God who doesn't let us fail. If we just allow him to minister to us, we'll never fail. We will never, ever fail. And I feel like God sent Elijah back to what he was walking away from. He set him back and he said, that's the path that I've got for you. And that's the path where you're going to experience greatness. You know, Elijah didn't die. Elijah appeared to Jesus on Mount Carmel. And he was on the verge of missing it all. Holy Spirit says to someone here today, I know it's been hard, and I know you're weary from well-doing. I know you're tired, and I know the devil has tried to take you out. He's set that Jezebel against you to discourage you and move you out of your place. And the Lord says to you today, you will not be moved, because in my gentleness, I come here today to refresh you. I come here today to revive you. I come here today to renew you. And he says, He wants to touch you as only He can touch you. He wants to touch you with the finger of God. He wants to remind you that you will see the dead raised that you're yet to see, that you will see the sick healed as you lay hands on, that you will see devils tremble and be cast out before you. You will see heaven come down and do what no man can do. You will see His kingdom come in the midst. You will have dreams and visions, visitation. It's all before you. And He wants to remind you that His power has not left you. His power has not left you. And He wants to release to you a new vision, fresh vision, to use you, continue to use you. Oh, you know, I was with Harry Westcott this week. What it is to see and to be with a real man of God who's endured to the end. He's beat up and he's battered. People have backstabbed him. People have betrayed him. He's been through a lot. He's like a gnarled oak tree. But the Lord spoke to me at the end. He says, great is this man's reward, because he has endured to the end. So I want the worship team to come forward. I want us to just play this last song. I don't want to preach long. Sometimes, you know, God's man, it's not about preaching, it's about letting God do. And God wants to do business here today. He wants to do business. And He's saying to someone here today, I know it all. I see it all. I know what's in your heart. You can't hide it. You don't have to try to hide it. But the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. And He doesn't want you to miss that best. You are going to see what He's promised you and beyond. You'll be used by God Himself in ways that you can't even comprehend yet. And He wants to come and break off this disappointment. He wants to deal with discouragement. He wants to just completely break it off your life. And that comes when He touches you and gives you a new vision. I tell you, when it comes, everything is resolved. Everything is resolved. And He wants to remind you that His power is all that you need to get your minds off His problems, off what you see, off what's against you, and get your mind focused again on the power of God, because you'll never fail. He won't let you fail. So I want us to stand. I want us to just stand. There's a renewal. There is refreshment. You call it revival. There's in the house today. There is a touch. And I've had it. There is a touch where you're on your knees, where you're crying out, where you're weeping to God. You said, it's so hard. It's real. And that's your emotions. It's so hard and you're tired and you've lost perspective. You're not in a good place because of the battle. You've been moved out of a good place. And there is a touch of Him which just resolves it all. It's a divine, it's a sovereign touch. And I'm telling you here, He's here to touch lives. He's here to touch you. He's here to say, it's not over. It's not over till I say it's over. And the best is yet to come. My power never left you. Amen. May have felt like it, but I never left you.
Thank you, Lord.
Miracles. 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 You'll see miracles of God. Salvation's like you've never seen. It's all before you. Best is yet to get. If you're somebody who the devil's been trying to discourage, I want you to do something. I'm not going to touch anybody, but the Lord's going to minister to you today. He's here. The Holy Spirit is just here. Whether you're in your seat or whether you want to come forward and just kneel down here at the altar, the Spirit of God has a recommissioning here for somebody here today. He is going to touch you. He's going to touch you. He's going to refresh you. He's going to remind you. Dreams and visions. The power. power that is still before you. Visitations that are coming your way. He's a wonderful Jesus. One touch, one word is all you need. You come, you bow. God, as we meet here today, you know who they are. You know who they are. Lift your hands today. Lift your hands to Jesus. If you need something from him today, you come. You come, you come. Everyone, Lord, who's been in that battle, who is well weary. Everyone who you're recommissioning, you're sending them back. You say, it's never over. Never was. It was all the devil. It's all the devil. God says, I never forgot you. I understand it completely. It's all the devil. It's all the devil. Lift your hands. Just in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Be touched. Be touched. Be touched. Jesus' name. Be renewed. Be revived. Holy Ghost, pour fresh life. Fresh life in every empty vessel. And to speak all our kingdom vision. Release kingdom vision, Lord. Lord, touch them in that place where the motor runs again, Lord. Touch them in that place which destroys every work of the enemy. Every lie I remove from your life. Every disappointment I break its power off your life. I speak hope, fresh hope into every heart here in the mighty name of Jesus. Mighty name of Jesus. Just let him do what only he can do. Just let him do. You will run and not grow weary, says the Lord. Lord, I'm asking, you will run and not grow weary. He's going to release a new grace over your life where you have a wisdom to run and not let it happen anymore. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. The young man shall utterly fall. Hold, and those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Holy Spirit, I thank you. I thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Lift us. He gives power to the weak. To those who have no mighty, increases strength. Father, release your power. Release your power into our lives. Just stay there. Just stay there. Let God do it. Let God do it.